It's never too early for Lowe's Black Friday deals. Snag some of our biggest savings of the season right now, like 25% off select pre-lit artificial Christmas trees. And get yourself free select DeWalt, Kobalt, or Craftsman tools when you buy a select battery or combo kit before the Black Friday rush. Because everyone loves free stuff, right? Lowe's, we help you save. Valid through 12/3 while supplies last. Selection varies by location.
Previously on No Reserves Radio.
Oh my God, Angelo, come on, have some self-respect. The Eagles can't hurt you if you don't constantly pander to them.
Here's the biggest indictment of Dame that I can say. Dame has been so like off this year that Ren went on live air and said Jalen Brunson deserved an All-Star start over him.
You are now Angelo DiDelulo.
Do you think it is possible that the management of the Memphis Grizzlies are just buying into the reckless youth movement and they got rid of the one person in the locker room that probably was telling Ja to knock it off?
Because he's taken advantage of me multiple times when I was younger. That sounded bad. Holy shit.
Yeah, I think that's true. I think you're correct in that assessment.
What's going on, guys? Welcome to another episode of No Reserves Radio. I'm your host, Angelo. With me, as always, is Alex. Alex, did you enjoy your little vacation?
Yeah, how's it going, guys? How are you, Angelo? Yeah, I mean, little nice week off that we had. Recharged some batteries. There was not a bunch of things to talk about. And now we come back with a little more. A little bit more of extra juice. You didn't take the full week off. You still had the basketball show, if I'm not mistaken, right?
Damn straight.
Yeah, with the playoffs going on. I guess Ren might be kind of happy. Isn't he a Pacers fan?
Yeah, a disgusting Pacers fan.
Yeah, they're doing it. They're having a great season. I've been sort of following the playoffs just a bit here and there, watching some Game 7s. And I mean, the Pacers are showing off. I mean, they're playing well.
Yeah. I mean, they kind of got lucky considering like 2/3 of the Knicks team got injured during that series. So, yeah. But
wasn't it like Brunson who also got hurt in game 7, if I'm not mistaken?
He did.
Like in the middle of the game. Yeah.
He did. Yeah. At the start of the third quarter, basically.
Yeah. That's it. Yeah, see, I watch some basketball from time to time. Now they're facing the Knicks, and the Celtics, and the crazy amount of free throws that they get every single game for some weird reason.
Because the NBA has common sense, and they don't want the goddamn Pacers in the finals, and I don't blame them.
Oh, so you're saying the NBA is rigged. Okay.
Tell me I'm wrong based on the foul discrepancy from that first game.
I mean, I'm not going to tell you you're wrong. I was inning at that, by the way. So, yeah. I think we're both on the same page. It's a little bit of a trashing of the NBA here. On the other side of the bracket, if I'm not mistaken, it's the Mavericks and the Wolves, right?
T-Wolves, yeah.
No. Okay, so a new final, basically. It's guaranteed. No Nuggets, no Bucks, nothing of sorts.
Yeah, Bucks got eliminated early. Bucks also lost half their team to injury against the Pacers. Noticing a trend here.
Oh, so the NBA is rigged, but the Pacers have the contrary of the Midas touch? They have the touch of death or something.
Yeah, no. The NBA has wanted the Pacers out. I would say for the last three series, but the players that the freaking Pacers are playing have been just like gotten hurt during the series. It was crazy because they lost Giannis before the series, and then Dame went down. So it's just been all bad.
They are just Thanos collecting the Infinity Stones, but it's injuries that they're giving the players. Okay, so NFL, what are we doing today, Angelo?
Fuck if I know.
We are going to talk about some sleepers. It's still rookie season. Have you done any other rookie drafts or just the one
league
that we're both on?
Okay. One league that we're both in. Not at all.
Okay. That reminds me that I need your okay for the Star Wars League and for the 32-team league. You have not checked up on those yet.
Oh, okay. I'll do that.
Just need you to leave a... I'm back. Because the Star Wars League should start as soon as we have a couple more guys giving the okay. I think it's you, it's Cameron, and then there's like one or two more people. And for the 32-team league, we are thinking about Sunday for the draft, but we need everyone to be under the cap, which I think you are right now.
Yeah, no. My team is pretty tragic. I should be well under the cap.
You also missed the lottery that happened last Sunday, in which I traded, I think it was like, I don't know, like 3 hours of the lottery. I traded like Saquon and an IDP player for 1.13, if I'm not mistaken, and 129. And the way we conduct the lottery, it's like the old NBA lottery rules. So I believe 13 had a 0.6 chance of getting 101. Spoiler alert, your guy got 103 with 113.
Nice.
So, yeah, I managed to flip that around and made a decent chunk. Got your boy Bryce Hall after getting that.
Nice. Brees is a very good running back. I'd say one of the top ones. So
yeah. So I basically flipped, like, I don't know, Saquon got Brees and a bunch of picks after getting lucky with that one. So yeah. Good payoff there. I believe you're picking like 7 or 8 in this year's draft.
Oh really? So I went up because it said I had pick 110.
Maybe it's lower. You went down a spot from wherever you have.
Oh, yeah. Oh, well, I moved whatever. Up.
But I think it's definitely top 10. I think it's 8 or 9 or something like that.
Nice. But anyway, what were you talking about? Sorry.
We are talking about sleepers. Guys that are going kind of late into drafts, like round 3, round 4, that we think have actual value of some sort.
Uh-huh.
They are being slept on, that have some sort of hidden opportunity that might get him into the field. And players that in college show the ability that if they get the opportunity, they will shine. So we're talking about those guys who are being drafted super late, that you might be looking at in your draft. I mean, in the draft that we made, there were points in that draft in which I was just looking at the draft board like, what is this? What is this wasteland? Came relatively soon as well. But the lower we got, the more question I had in that regard. So just giving out some names here that you guys can take note of. And maybe if you haven't drafted yet, I hope you haven't, take note and just make those picks.
Notes taken.
Okay, so this is going to be a show in which I talk a bit more than Angelo because Angelo isn't 100%. He's close to 100%, right?
Close. We're getting there.
Getting there. Okay, so I'll start from a guy who is being picked right around into the 40s. So this guy right now has an ADP in the 46. 46, you're talking about late round 4 at this point in a 12-team Superflex league. You're talking about a late round four, mid round four. And it's Dylan Laube, the running back that the Las Vegas Raiders selected in the end of the sixth round. He was picked 32 in the sixth round. So very late guy. Very.
What is his name?
Dylan Laube. Laube. So he's Dylan a running back LA. From. Yeah, he's a running back from New Hampshire. And I want to give you some numbers here.
Indeed,
so in 2023. So in 2023, he was in his, if I'm not mistaken, he played until very late. I believe he played four seasons in college. So he played for a while. He's a vet of the game. I don't even remember how old the dude is, but I believe he's 23. Yeah, he's 24.3. That's it. 24.3. I knew there was a 3 in there. So he's 24 years old, should be 25 by the time the season ended. Quite of an old running back, but in his 2023 season, he had, and this is a number that you love, 68 catches and 699 yards receiving.
That is a number that I love. Yeah.
That is a number that you love. In fact, if you look at 2022 as well, you're talking about a guy that across 2022 and 2023, he had over 1,000 yards receiving and over 110 catches out of the backfield. So a number that
Here's a question I have for you then, because I have this in front of me. He played 12 games in 2022, 10 in 2023. Why did his attempts, obviously with the attempts, the yards go down. Why did his attempts, his yards, and go down, but his receptions go up?
Was just used more as a receiving option out of the backfield. He's also a guy with great agility, which plays well into that and into the kick returning. If I'm not mistaken, around the time that I was looking at his profile, I saw a few coaches raving about his special teams ability. I believe he averaged 12.5 yards per punt return and 24.5 yards per kick return. So, I mean, across his, 4 years in college, he had over 7,000 all-purpose yards when you account for all the kick returns and all of that. They just split the role a bit more in 2023. That's why his attempts went down in terms of the rushing. But they were using him quite a bit as a receiving weapon out of the backfield as well. He's also not the typical guy that you think. When you think of a scat back or receiving back, you think about a guy like Danny Woodhead, for example, which tends to be a guy like in the 5'8". No, he's 5'10", 206 pounds, so a very good build for a running back like this. And he's just a guy that can have opportunity. Right now, the Raiders have Zamir White. Everyone loves Zamir White. He's the new Otness. But, couldn't I build a scenario that a guy that was picked last year in round four or something like that? And I know he has good college pedigree. If I'm not mistaken, he's the guy from Georgia, right? Zamir White?
Yes.
That played for Georgia, yeah. So I know his college pedigree was good. I know people liked him out of college. But he was still a day three running back. He wasn't picked as late as Laube. He was picked 4.17, Zamir White. Laube was 6.32. But you're still talking about opportunity. And you're talking about a guy that has not shown anything at the NFL level. I mean, he had a couple games to finish the season with the Raiders in which he showed some promise. But he had no long-term success in the league. So if he struggles, maybe with the fumbles, maybe with drops, something like that, there's a possibility that you have a guy here that is a receiving weapon as well as a good runner. He always had over four and change. Like for the last 3 years of his career in college, he has 6.3, 4.9, 4.7 yards rush, average yards per rush. So you're talking about a guy that can run the football, that is excellent at catching the football. I mean, heck, in 2023, he had 10.3 yards per catch. So, I mean, you're talking about a double weapon, a good weapon in both sides that just fell. And we see guys like this from time to time, like the Alfred Morris, for example, guys that get picked super late, especially when they are from this like super unknown colleges. The most recent one was Isaiah Pacheco, and they come into the backfield at SM out and just take over. And that's what we can hope for here with a guy being picked in the late fourth round. I mean, it's a great dart throw.
Yeah, no, I agree with the dart throw, especially in the fourth round. I will say that his weight is a bit of a concern. So, like, what is stopping them from saying, okay, we have this dude who has shown to be very good pass catching, but he's only 206 pounds?
I mean, is 206 pounds that bad for a running back?
It's not that bad. If I'm not mistaken, what is the bar that the stupid, like, obligatory bar that the NFL sets to be a bell cow? Isn't it like around 220?
I think it's so, close to that, yeah.
So, I don't know.
I mean, if you look at Zamir White, for example, which is the guy that is currently being the running back for the Raiders.
He's also undersized under those parameters.
Six foot, 214 pounds. So, I mean, the difference isn't that much.
Yeah, it's a 10-pound difference, but like I said, when you're that close to the bar, 10 pounds can be a lot.
Yeah, there's also, like, whenever you think about these guys that come out of college, and I get Labe is a bit of a late bloomer, if you put it that way. He comes into the NFL with 24 years old, so are there to make the argument that this can be a guy that jumps in and gets a bit more weight put into him, but it's still possible that he is one of those guys that just gets into the NFL, gets 5-6 pounds more added to his weight just by having the routine of an NFL player versus the routine that he had in college. There's better everything in the NFL, better equipment, better workouts, better coaches, better nutrition. So I think it's a possibility that he also gets some weight. Now, will he play as well with the extra weight? That's a question that we need to see answered in the field. But from what we know right now, I mean, there's worse guys that you could pick here.
Yeah, that's fair.
Okay, so that's one of the guys that I wanted to talk about. There's a couple more here. And since we don't have time to address every single one of them, I'll talk about another guy that is interesting to me. This one is a wide receiver. Let me just pull my notes here that I have for him. Okay, and his ADP is here. And I'm talking about San Francisco 49ers wide receiver,
Jacob
Cowing. I mean, Jacob Cowing. Okay.
Let me get
the bad stuff out of the way first.
So, go ahead. The bad stuff.
He's 5'8". He's 168 pounds.
Yeah.
So he is basically what we mocked. What's that one guy for the Rams that they drafted like 2 years ago?
Tutu Atwell.
Tutu Atwell. So yeah, he is Tutu Atwell, basically.
Tutu Atwell is taller than...
Is he taller than 5'8"?
Yeah.
I know the weight is sure right Tutu, around.
I'm pretty sure Tutu was like 5'11 or 6 foot, if I'm not mistaken. Let's see what Tutu is.
No, I think he's a bit shorter. I think he's, if anything, I think he's 5'9". But the weight is right around the ballpark of 168, 160.
If it'll go to 2-2.
There is no 2-2.
Tutu Atwell, 5'9", 155 pounds. Okay, so you are right. Never mind.
So, ballpark, at least.
Yeah. But regardless, why do you like Jacob Cowing? Like, why do you think he's better than rookie Purcell? And how is he not another like Elijah Moore, Rondale Moore?
If you look at player profilers page, his best comparable player is indeed Elijah Moore.
That's not a good thing.
That is not a good thing. but the final thing that isn't good is his arm length is 4th percentile arm length. So
he's also like 23 and a half already.
Yes. So he is. I'm going for the late prospects, the guys who should have left college a bit, but didn't. But now let me talk to you about the good things here. So look at his speed, 4.38. He's 40 yard dash. So that's a 96%.
He's 170 pounds, so I hope he'd be fast.
Angelo.
There's nothing holding him back.
Focus on the positives, Angelo. Don't argue. It's college dominator. 99 percentile. A 61.4%.
No, he was a senior.
His breakout age is 95 percentile. He broke out at 18.6 years old.
That's a good thing. But why did he break out so early but then feel the need to stay 5 years? He stayed 5 years, including the redshirt?
He stayed 5 years in college. Maybe just wanted to finish his degree, man.
Get out of here.
Okay. And finally, his college target share, 99 percentile as well. So, elite athletes in that regard. Now, if you look at everything else in terms of athleticism, not like excellent. If you look at his athleticism score, it ranks 31st out of 31 wide receivers in this wide receiver class. And it ranks 207 out of 207 from this 2024 class. So,
oh my God,
you
dude.
Look at that as well. It's not great.
The hell, dude.
Okay, so bad things out of the way. Gave you some good ones as well. But now let me
talk. It's all bad.
I mean, no. The breakout is good. He broke out right out of Arizona as well. It's not some low-level college. It's the home of some of the greats, like, for example, N'Keal Harry, if I'm not mistaken, right?
What the hell is this guy going to do? I'd say he'd be in the Debo package, but...
So that's where I'm going at. If you look at the room right now for the wide receivers, you have Ayuk. Ayuk is one of those guys that, like, he for some reason just really wants to leave the San Francisco 49ers. So he has asked for a trade out. Maybe it happens. Maybe it doesn't. Maybe they give him an extension somehow. I don't know. But he wants out, at least. Debo Samuel has a huge contract. Is starting to become a bit of an injury prone type of player, and he's getting out there in terms of age. So I don't expect him to stay long with the 49ers. And then you have George Kittle, who is also one of those weapons that can be used on the short stuff. And he's getting quite old, and he is obviously injury-prone as well. So you take all of that into account. They drafted Ricky Pearsall. Ricky Pearsall is one of those guys that if you look at the things being talked about Ricky Pearsall prior to the draft, I mean, it wasn't great.
Here's the thing.
Yes, give it to me.
So I understand that as far as, like, his statistics, senior year, and his breakout age, Jacob Cowan is a better prospect in that regards to than Ricky Pearsall. But here's kind of the thing. Ricky Pearsall is like 3 inches taller, like 20 pounds heavier, and he's better than Cowan in literally every single athletic measurement you have. So how is he beating this guy out?
By being a better NFL player.
Okay.
Look, you're talking about a guy who has excellent speed. I mean, he has track speed level. You also add to that a great tracking of the ball in the back shoulder throws. And you're talking about a guy that is receptions. I mean, just look at the numbers. He's one of those guys that usually just increased in terms of his production. I mean, year one, 31 receptions. Year two, 41 receptions. Year three, 69 receptions. Year four, 85 receptions. Year five, 90 receptions. So just getting up there always. Touchdowns the same. I mean, he went two seasons with three touchdowns, two seasons with seven touchdowns. Last season, he had 13 touchdowns. And he's also getting better in the drops. I mean, he went from eight drops in 2020 to only five in 2023 with almost triple the amount of targets.
That's so, just me because, you know, he was...
He's older, yes, Angelo. You're talking about a guy you're probably drafting in the fifth round if you have that. So it's obviously one of those guys that is pitching all to hell. I mean, but I mean, you look at a guy like Tank Dell last year. And he is built in a very similar mold as Tank Dell. And Dynasty sometimes is all about learning from the mistakes. And like a lot of people just scrubbed past Tank Dell last year because he was small, he was short. And we didn't notice some of the great things that he did out of college. And one of them is the great speed that he showed. And one of the other things that he also did pretty well was the tracking of the ball deep. And it's one of those things that these deep guys, those deep target guys, need to be great at in terms to excel at the next level. He's having a great tracking of the football, especially in those back shoulder throws.
So here's the thing. I agree with that. That's a very good assessment. But I will say this. The reason that we didn't know anything about Tank Dell other than like his speed was because he didn't test in anything else. We have Cowan's metrics and we know they're terrible. We don't need him to test. He's already tested. He's tested. He's done everything. So,
I mean, his speed is elite, though. You're talking about guy who ran inside of the 4.3. I know he has the weight of a child. I understand all of that. But it's still... Steph, you know that he was the you know that he was...
Hopefully he doesn't play in Chicago.
God damn it, Angelo. What? He is... the only FBS player with 90 plus catches and 12 or more touchdowns in 2023.
Okay. He was almost 24 playing against people who were like 18.
That is the pigeonhole, right? I mean, there's a reason why a guy being drafted inside of the... He was pick 4.35. For the San Francisco 49ers. So a speedster that is great at tracking deep balls and can be used in the short stuff because he has shown great agility, also because he returned punts as well. That has been just improving year after year after year in a college like Arizona. Goes to the Niners, to a place that everyone loves, because they have a great coach, the coach workship that you mentioned so much. He goes there, and he's being drafted like, what? Right now he is pick 48, so it's the end of the fourth round. I mean, there's a reason why the guy has fell so much, and that's it. I mean, he is small, his athletic profile isn't great. He stayed in college for 4 years. It's much easier to do that exercise of pigeonholing him. But I think there's some promise here. And it wouldn't be the first time in which a guy drafted later. Like, for example, he was drafted later than Ricky Pearsall. It wouldn't be the first time that that happens. And the guy who was drafted later becomes a better player.
So... this is the weird thing about the NFL, because this guy, you said it, you gave the quiet, you said the quiet part out loud to start. He is the worst graded athlete of the entire class that tested.
Yes.
Sometimes those guys just win. You don't have to be fast. You don't have to be agile. It helps. Well, he's fast. But, like, you don't have to be agile. You don't have to have the best burst. You don't have to have the best catch radius. But if you have the experience of knowing how to get open and you can convert catches, you can be successful in the NFL. That said, You're still talking about the worst tested athlete of this class, my friend. What the fuck?
And if he was a better player or he tested better, I probably wouldn't include him as a sleeper. Just my two cents.
Hopefully Brock Purdy isn't off 2 centimeters or that 17th percentile catch radius might come back to bite him.
Okay. You're not a fan of this one. So I'm 1-for-1 on you. You seem to like Laube, and you're not the biggest fan of Jacob Cowing. So now I'll bring...
Go ahead.
Now I'll bring one position that you don't love drafting rookies. And it's
tight end. He's about to be a tight end.
Yes.
Are you about to say the Giants tight end?
No. Because that guy is being drafted a bit higher. I'm going into a guy that is being picked in the 50s right now. Right now his ADP is 51. So outside of the fourth round, this is a guy who is 6'6", 249, 33-inch arm length. He was a fourth-round pick. He played for TCU. He is almost 24 years old. That is true. He's 23 years old and a half, if I'm not mistaken. His production isn't, like, anything great. I mean, last season, he had 520 yards. But as we know, production at college, in the college level, for a tight end isn't really a big
tight
indicative.
End.
Yeah, it's whatever. But then you look at his workout metrics, and it is an 87th percentile 40-yard dash. He ran a 4.62. It is a 91st percentile speed score and an 81st percentile burst score, and you finish it up with an 82nd percentile catch radius. So you mean you're not going to give me
the least athletic tight end in this class? Is that what you're saying?
No. I'm giving you the fourth most athletic tight end in this draft class. So all of that out of the way, I'll talk a bit about why I like this guy. And maybe you can tell me if this reminds you of anything. So one of this guy's like best ability in college that I saw at least is the ability to constantly create space for himself. So he is okay at blocking the football, but he is great at finding the dead spots in the zone that he can sit in and just get the catches. Get them yards, even if it's not a whole lot, because he is not the fastest guy, so he won't break out a bunch of runs. But he can find space inside of the defense. He has great awareness in terms of spatial awareness and football awareness. So he can find the good zones to sit in. He was also a team captain in 2023, so he's a leader of a team. So the first part, did it remind you of anyone?
No.
Especially the awareness and being able to find zones inside of the defense.
Travis Kelce, go on.
It's Jared Wiley, the tight end that the Kansas City Chiefs drafted. And as you said, some similarities to Travis Kelce in what comes to his game, right? So this is interesting because Travis Kelce is 34.6 years old. So how long does he play? I don't think it will be that much. Like, I don't expect him to play 3 more years. Maybe he plays 2 more years. And the thing with tight ends is that when you draft him, you usually have to keep them for 2-3 years tops. So it's sort of crushes right into the Travis Kelce window. So it reminds me a lot of the Trey McBride, Zach Ertz situation, for example, in Arizona, or Zach Ertz and Dallas Goedert when Zach Ertz was in Philly. So it reminds me of that situation in which a team that really likes to throw the ball to the tight end drafts someone similar to that tight end in some aspects and just lets them sit for a while. they also moved on, if I'm not mistaken, of Noah Gray this past offseason. So they are cutting back on the tight ends behind Travis Kelce. And I'm guessing that their bet to be a guy that replaces Kelce when he leaves might just be Jared Wiley. And this is a guy that you can get in the fifth round. You can put on your taxi squad if you have them, or at the bottom of your bench for 2-3 years. Don't care about him. Just let him sit there. And he's just someone that you draft super late fourth round, and he's just sitting there and gaining value. Or if in 2-3 years Kelce has moved on and they have bring in, I don't know, a vet tight end or something like that, you can just cut him. And you're wasting a very late fourth round pick for a guy that, if he comes in and replaces Travis Kelce as the guy that is the main target from Holmes, you're talking about a lottery ticket that just paid off massively. So
now everything that I have seen says Noah Gray is still a Kansas City Chief.
Okay, so they replaced another tight end. They had two tight ends behind Travis Kelce. I know one of them left. Let me check which one left. Maybe it wasn't Noah Gray and it was the other guy. But what do you like or don't like about my guy Jared Wiley?
Oh, Jared Wiley has a very interested prospect profile. If you want me to be quite honest, I think the person who replaces Travis Kelce is Noah Gray. I don't think there's a... And then they drafted a tight end and he became the next... I don't think that's happening. And quite honestly, very rarely do you see... Like, if you have an elite player like a Travis Kelce, that you draft someone and he's just as good again. You know, the Packers situation of going from Favre to Rodgers and now to Love. It doesn't happen. It doesn't work like that in the real life usually. So, I mean, if they catch lightning in a bottle twice, sure, but I think the lightning in the bottle pick is Noah Gray, not Wiley. But that said, you're right. It's a lottery. So,
okay. He has so a good athletic
profile. Go ahead, sorry.
I know which guys left. So it was Jody Fortz and Blake Bell. Those were the two guys that I was thinking about that have left the Kansas City Chiefs. So now it's only Noah Gray behind them. I don't know. By the time that Travis Kelce's done, will Noah Gray still be around? I mean, Noah Gray is what? Noah Gray is... I had it open here. Why did it leave me? How old is Noah Gray? Noah Gray is on his third year. Right? Out of college?
If I'm not mistaken, yes. Noah Gray's 25.
Okay. So could you not see a scenario in which Noah Gray sits around? I mean, so he's going into year four. So this is the last year of his rookie deal. Let me check if he has signed an extension or not. Because that's relevant. Because if you're looking at Noah Gray... And Noah Gray has another season in which Travis Kelce does everything. Noah Gray does nothing, basically. Just sits and competes with Jared Wiley for tight end 2. So saying that happens, and Noah Gray, okay, let me check. So no Noah Gray even. Sporttrack doesn't even have Noah Gray. Okay, it's here. Okay, so he has not signed an extension. So let's say that he sits there, and there two of these things happens. Either him is done with being Travis Kelce's backup and wants to be a tight end 1 elsewhere and just leaves in free agency. Someone gives him a better contract than the Kansas City Chiefs, or the Kansas City Chiefs choose not to resign him because maybe he's looking at a $5 million API deal that is feasible for guys that have been backups in the league. I'm talking about, for example, guys like Josh Oliver, for example, signed a deal similar to that one. So let's say they don't want to spend the money and they want to rather invest on the rookie Jared Wiley because they're paying a bunch of guys and the money isn't infinite, no matter what they tell you about the cap space. Teams need to get under it at some point.
So here's the thing. I agree with that. But if you're in that building, you see both of them in camp. And if you say, by the time Travis Kelce retires, that Noah Gray is that guy, and I had to pull him up so I make sure I got the right. Jared Wiley is not. If they think that, why would they not, then not sign Noah Gray to the contract?
Because I'm not. The only way that happens is if Travis Kelce retires this year, because next year Noah Gray is a free agent. So next year, they might not have Noah Gray. If Noah Gray leaves and signs a contract elsewhere, or with a team that gives them more money or gives them a starting slot somewhere, maybe they just do not have Noah Gray. So, I mean, he's a guy that you can draft, put in your bench, just leave him there, and eventually, like, he either pans out and you struck, like, the biggest lottery ticket ever, or you cut him in, like, 3 years, because he's not going to be the guy. You just need to have that mindset, because I know one of the things that you don't like about tight ends is that it's basically like
a
dead.
Hold them.
Yeah, it's a dead roster spot, basically. And you just need to know when to fold them. Now, maybe sometimes it might come back to bite you.
Here's the problem.
Yeah.
Here's the problem with your old Western song of you gotta know when to hold them. So, like, how old was Travis Kelce when he broke out in the NFL?
Good question. Let me see. I believe it was his third year that he broke out. So he broke out in his first year in the league, which was 2014. He had 862 yards. So I guess you can sort of consider that a breakout for a tight end. That was 8 in terms of point per game. If you want to talk about when you really rose to the upper echelon, then we're probably talking about 2016, in which he posted 13.8 points per game, and he was the second tight end in terms of points per game. So let's say 2016. So two years after he came in 2024.
So 3 years. And granted, like, I think nowadays, if you got this production... No, I can't even say that. I was going to say 2 years in, if you got this production, you were going to hold him. But that's not necessarily true. Do you know why?
Why?
Kyle Pitts, in his first two seasons, what if I told you, oh my God, what happened in 2022? His rookie year... Oh, he only played 10 games. Okay, he was hurt. All right, anyway. But anyway, his rookie year, he had 1,000 yards. Last year, he had approaching 700 yards.
Yes.
We're still selling him. So, like, and I get that progression is a little bit different. It's to Kelce, but at the same time, it feels like unless you're producing at a top tight end clip, no one's waiting 3 years. Dude, we fantasy, especially dynasty players have ADHD when it comes to their tight ends. So unless you're, it's
but
true.
Kyle Pitts is still a top 5 tight end in dynasty.
Right, but like he's evaluated at like a wide receiver like 4. So
I mean, no, he's right around the value of a DK Metcalf.
Is he really?
Yeah. He is actually higher than Kenneth Walker or Jackson Smith and Jigba.
That's kind of crazy.
Yeah, I mean, when it's that elite type of talent, people will hold. Now, with Wiley, it's definitely not. The only reason that you might be like, okay, I'm going to hold him for a while now, it's because he is on the Chiefs. And that's also a reason why he probably won't lose a whole lot of value from where you drafted him. Heck, maybe if Noah Gray leaves last season, maybe he jumps around. Maybe it's someone that you can flip for a third if you're no longer liking holding the guy. if you think it will take longer or something like that. So I think it's a relatively safe bet when you look at the ROI on it, because it's someone that you most definitely can see a scenario in which you can flip them for more next year, or if you stay with the player for longer, maybe you can even see a bigger rise. Like, if he is the starter for the Chiefs in 4 years or 3 years, I don't know. If he is the starter for them, then you're looking at a guy that is worth, what, a top 10 pick plus?
We'll see.
I think worst case scenario is no Gray signs a long-term deal next year, and Wiley sort of gets stuck. That's the only way that you really lose whatever value the fourth round had, the fourth round pick that you used had. So I think the scenarios to which he loses value immediately are quite short to what he can potentially offer you.
That's a good conversation, honestly.
Go on, sir. So, we'll give you probably a couple more. Mm-hmm. Okay. So, I had a couple names here that I was looking at. Which one do I want to give out? Okay. I'll do one. Let me get my notes here for this player.
Get the notes out. Get the notes out.
So it's here. Okay. Okay.
Do you think there's a world where, like, we're going here next year? And, like, because I've talked about, because I obviously have been Isaac Guerrero happy. And I'm just like, I wouldn't be surprised if we're going into next year and we're talking about Guerrero as the running back one. What? No, not the running back one, but, like, the best running back out of this class. Regardless, do you think there's a scenario we come here next year and, like, just all of them were shit?
Oh, most definitely. You can definitely. I mean, this wasn't a highly touted draft class to begin with, so you can definitely see
for running backs. Yes,
yeah, for running backs. Yeah, so I definitely think you can see that happening. Now, do I think it's likely? I wouldn't say so. Really, I think there is likely 2-3 guys that break out here that people really weren't expecting, or at least have some sort of meaningful role weren't expecting. Mm-hmm. So, and I mean, you will have like guys like Jalen Wright who will dominate the backfield when they get a chance. So, slight knock.
Oh my god.
Okay.
So, this is Alex's reminder that he wants you to sell on
Devon A-Chain.
Yeah, Devon A-Chain.
And draft Jalen Wright.
And draft Jalen
Wright. Okay. So, let me talk to you about a guy that is a wide receiver drafted inside of the sixth round, but really shouldn't be a wide receiver. He is definitely someone that should be a tight end, but right now he's a wide receiver. And he reminds me a whole lot of a guy.
Oh my god, we're going to have this conversation. Okay.
I don't know. But it reminds me of a guy that used to be a wide receiver and that his team did the right thing a bunch of years ago. So let's start with this. He's 6'6". He is 231 pounds and he managed to run a 4.52. That gives him a speed score of 118, which is 98th percentile. After that, his college target share, 65th percentile. I'll ignore the other ones because they're all shit. And we're talking about the good things here. So,
Alex.
Another interesting part. So I've been looking at experience adjusted receiving yards per team pass attempt. Okay? So it is how well you do in the pass attempts that you get, and it gets adjusted by the experience in terms of like how many years you've played. So this is a guy that in every single one of his 3 years in college, I guess he had four. The first one isn't really counting a whole lot. And because there's no comparison for the other guy, but has been really compared throughout all of this process to a Darren Waller. That was the wide receiver that was turned tight end. And this guy gets drafted by the Philadelphia Eagles. So,
a team that you have stated you have no confidence in.
Yes, but the majority of people love them. So it is what it is. People love them. So I'm talking about Johnny Wilson. Johnny B. Goode. My guy. And if you look at Johnny Wilson, let me give you a few things here for Johnny Wilson, the man that I love dearly. In the, I believe it was 12 games that he played in 2022, he had an EPA per play of 1.3. He had 20.86 yards per reception. He had an EPA per team pass attempt of 0.15. And he had 74.8 receiving yards per game. This is playing at Arizona State. Oh, no, my bad. He was at... This is playing at Florida State. So Johnny Wilson is a major guy. He is 6'6", again, 231 pounds, 35-inch arm length, which is 100th percentile. And he has a catch radius of 10.5, which is 99th percentile. So he's a freak. He's an absolute freak talent. He is stuck with a team that people usually love. So much like the Jared Wiley, he's going to be a guy that people just buy into the team and buy into Jalen Hurts quite a bit, that maybe he can become something here. So for a wide receiver, I don't love him in terms of if he's just going to stay wide receiver. I'm not the biggest fan. But let's say he might move to tight end, which so far, none of the Eagles coaching staff has given me any inclination of reason to believe. Because if I'm not mistaken, their comments was that he can run a full route tree. All of his production came on the outside routes. So he's not going to be moved to the tight end position. Right now, what if he's moved to the tight end position afterwards? You might have a guy here that is a super athletic freak and could be playing tight end, one of the most needed positions in fantasy football, for a team that people usually love, with a QB that people usually love, and you're telling me you can get this guy that maybe in 2-3 years might have a shot at being something, right around pick 56. So that is deep into the fifth round. What more do you want?
What more do you want?
Yes.
I mean, that's fair.
I was expecting a major rebuttal coming.
He's the best athlete out of the class, dude. Like, that's it. That's... It's kind of hard to argue against him.
He's a massive beast of an athlete, Johnny Wilson.
Yep.
Yes. So I'm literally going out of the sheer ability that he has to just moss people. Now, he's an okay route runner. There's nothing like he can do the one cuts, the runaway routes. He is an okay at all of that. He's not a natural separator. He needs to rely sometimes on those contested catches, which I don't love. He missed, if I'm not mistaken, he missed a whole bunch of the 2021 season with hamstring injuries. 7 games in Arizona State. And then he missed, if I'm not mistaken, I think he missed 3 games with an injury, for Florida State. So he has one season in which he was totally healthy, which was 2022. In that season, he posted almost 900 yards on 43 catches. So, as I said, great average yards per catch. And he's just one of those guys that, again, dart throws. You take this guy late, and if he just has the chance, he might be special because he's an athletic freak, because he might play at one of the positions that you most desperately need at times, because he might have the flexibility to play wide receiver, tight end, if he does get moved, like, in season, I don't know, 2-3 years afterwards. We're sitting here, and in the middle of the season, he's playing tight end. Sleeper gives him the wide receiver tight end tag. Boom, you just got a guy that is even more valuable now.
So here's the rub. Here's the thing about... Yes. So here's the bad things.
Yes.
Bad college dominator.
Yes.
Bad breakout age. Broke out older.
Yes.
What do you got?
Reminds me of Devin Funchess as well. Another shitty thing to have on the list. So, A, I do not have a whole lot of things to say about that, apart from the college dominator being bad because he played with Keon Coleman, which people tend to love now that he's with the Bills. So he took a back seat this past season for Keon Coleman. So, I mean, there's plenty to knock him. I mean, he goes to a team that is crowded with talent. He had 15 drops across his 4 years in college. He looks a whole lot like Devin Funchess, which is never a good thing. He doesn't separate at all. His route running is limited at points, despite what the coaching staff of the Eagles might have said to pump up their guy. And it's like he's one of those guys that tries to do a whole lot at the point of the catch, which then ends up making the routine catches sort of, I don't know, harder for him than they should be. He has a ton of those issues. He was picked in the sixth round for a reason. But my rebuttal to all of that is that he's 6'6", 231 pounds, and he has a 35-inch arm length.
Yeah, I can't argue with freak athlete.
I mean, when you are picking inside of the fifth round, there are usually worse things to pick than that.
Yeah, that's another thing.
I was looking at. What is, if you know, maybe at the top of your head, what is Giannis' arm length?
His arm length is 35 inches, 100th percentile.
No, no. What's Giannis Antetokounmpo's? Because I was trying to compare him to an NBA player. I don't know if you know that from the top of your head.
I don't, but I can probably look up.
I can only find the wingspan.
Yeah, which is 7'3", which is, by the way, ridiculous.
Yeah, that's why I wanted to bring him in, just for people that might be listening from the NBA show to get some sort of comparison here. But I'm not finding the... I can only find the size for his hands. Other than that, it's just the wingspan, which I guess makes sense, right?
One second.
Matters a bit more than the arm length. Okay, so I cannot find the arm length for whatever reason. But he has a massive arm length. Johnny Wilson, that is. You know, now that Angelo is out, I'll take this time to say that if you are not following us yet on Twitter, you should. It's at No Reserves Radio. So just give us a follow there. Keep in the loop.
Yeah.
I took this opportunity said. that you were out to just plug our Twitter right here in the middle.
Sorry, I had to take more Tylenol.
No problem. Okay, so I could not find the arm length. So, shame, I know. I guess I'll give one final one if we're done talking about the massive man that is Johnny Wilson.
Mm-hmm.
I'll give one final one.
One free one for the road, just for you listeners.
Just for you listeners that
Amps
just stuck around and didn't think that we were just ending on that. So I'm trying to think if I should go.
Why do you hate the Eagles offense so much? That's my question. Like, do you just still like won't admit like Jalen Hurts is like good? Like I don't. What's the hold up? You good don't like AJ Brown and Devontae Smith?
Good is such a strong word, right?
Such a strong word.
He is definitely a he's a good player. Okay. He's a better player than I thought he might have been. The reason why I don't love the offense is because I still don't like Nick Sirianni. I think everyone sort of forgot what we thought about Sirianni last season. everyone wanted them gone, and now like everyone is okay with him being back for whatever reason, I guess. But the main reason is just I think the Jason Kelce loss will impact them quite a bit. Like, they won't be able to run some of the same plays that they did before, especially the tush push, the friendly push, the whatever. They won't be able to run it to the same success rate that they had before, now that they do not have Kelce. So I think there are a few nuances in that offense that people aren't giving the full credit to, that will probably hurt them more than they are expecting. I mean, it's really just that. Plus, I still think their defense is shit. So that's why I don't love the team in general. Okay, so I was looking at the guys down here, and I do not have a major take in any one of these guys. So I'll give a guy that is a bit higher. And I'm not necessarily certain if he's still a sleeper because he has been rising like crazy. I mean, I've seen drafts in which he gets taken as high as like early second, but that's a very specific scenario. And this is a guy that in our draft, I got in the third round, early third round. So if you can still get him around that range, I think that's great. And he's a running back. So it's one of those guys that you love. You love running backs. We all know that. And it is the Los Angeles Chargers, Kimani Vidal. Killer name to start. Okay. So, Kimani Vidal, 5'8", 213 pounds. So, not the biggest guy, but a BMI in the 91st percentile.
213 is better than, like,
law base 206.
Half your list. Still,
but he's, like, 5'8".
Still so weighs more than half your list and just as tall.
Yes. That is true. Okay, so add on to that frame. A 446, 87th percentile. A 107.7 speed score, 88th percentile. And add on to that, a 73th percentile college dominator. add on to that a 5.6 college yards per carry, which is 57th percentile, and a 7.5 college target share. So it's at least a guy that can catch the football. I mean, you look at his receptions, he had 26, 22, 26, 18 combined the 4 years in college. He had, 600 yards, 700 yards receiving. Played at Troy. So another one of those small school type of guys. Those guys just usually tend to somehow pan out. I don't know how, but it's like you look at a guy like Pacheco, and he was one of those guys that really ran like with a crazy passion, and just managed to make a whole lot of things happen when they did expect a whole lot of them. But I mean, Pacheco, I brought his name specifically because this is what Kimani Vidal reminds me of. This is a guy that isn't the best on the open field. And you can see the same thing with Pacheco. When you look at a Pacheco run, you see that sometimes he takes like 10 steps. And it seems like he might have taken like 3 because they are just so small of a step. It really doesn't show you that he is great in that scenario, in that situation, that he hasn't optimized his game in that sense. He isn't efficient in that. And a lot of that applies to Vidal. But he is a guy that is a beast in the contact balance. He's a beast in the run power. He is also very good in the pass protection. So he's a guy that is very complete in general. He ranked 2nd in the FBS in terms of rushing yards in 2023 with 1,661 yards. He added on to that 15 touchdowns. So he's just a massive threat. His carries rose every single year. He went from 101 in 2020 to almost 300 yards, 300 rush attempts in 2023. And he goes to a situation in the Chargers in which you have Gus Edwards and you have the guy that Justin loves, Dobbins. So he goes to a situation with a guy that is a bit older and has some history of injuries, and a guy that is young but has an even bigger amount of injuries to his name in his very short time in the league. And although they do know the OC, because the OC is Greg Roman, the former Baltimore Ravens offensive coordinator, they are still players that are banged up, that are not 100%, and you put the fresh legs of Kimani Vidal there, and you have yourself a league winner when Harbaugh just goes completely nuts and gives every single one of his carries to Kimani Vidal.
So what you're saying is invest in the Chargers backfield because you don't know who the running back is.
Yes. You take the guy who was picked in the 6th round, who is a beast of a player in the field, because the rest are a bunch of soft pussies.
Wow. So you have no faith in Gus Edwards?
None.
J.K. Dobbins?
Dobbins is... Wait, is it Dobbins? Oh, yeah, Dobbins. Okay, Dobbins. Yeah, no faith in J.K. Dobbins.
Isaiah Spiller? I mean,
no faith in Isaiah Spiller, no.
None whatsoever.
Kimani Vidal wheels up like you wished.
Kimani Vidal wheels up.
That Quentin Johnston had wheels up.
There's no wide receivers in that receiver room.
Oh, Alex. You are wrong, Angelo. You are very wrong. That is one lad in Los Angeles.
Stop it.
You can't spell L.A. without L-A-T-D. Just forget the T-D. Lad is going to rule Los Angeles.
You could have just said you can't spell Lad without L.A.
Yeah, that works so much better. Ah, okay, scratch all of that. You can't spell Lad without LA. But yeah, Kamani Vidal, Led McConkey are the two guys that you want in the Chargers. That's it. I mean, Vidal was also the guy that was drafted by Harbaugh at this point. He was the only running back drafted by Harbaugh, if I'm not mistaken. I don't think they drafted another running back. The Chargers. So I'm taking the guy that looked pretty good in college and might have just gone super late because he played in Troy, which isn't like the best of colleges. And these guys just drop from time to time. Those guys from those small colleges just tend to drop when they have shown great tape. I mean, you look at this guy, Kamani Vidal, and he leaves Troy as the all-time leading rusher with over 4,000 yards rushing. That is awfully close to what we think when we look at an Isaiah Pacheco that also left, if I'm not mistaken. Which college was it? It was one of those. It was Rutgers. He left Rutgers with over 3,000 yards running. And I believe he was also the all-time rushing leader for Rutgers. So, yeah. I think you have a player here that can't, unlike the Gerald Wileys and the Johnny Wilsons of the world, this is a guy that you are drafting a bit earlier. You're drafting him in the third round, in the late second round. Heck, if you want this guy and if you believe in him, just like I believe in him, go take him in the second round. it's just a bunch of shit in the second round. In the early second round, it's a bunch of guys that are just wusses, that are just... They are terrible. Their profiles are terrible. Just go for a guy that looked great in the field and that might have an actual chance of being a top player for his team in the first year. Just go for that guy. Take risks in your drafts. Draft Kamani Vidal. That's the show.
Thank you, Alex. That's the show.
That's the show.
Burn your fantasy teams.
Just take Kamani Vidal and be a winner. Okay, guys. If you enjoyed it, if you stayed with us this far, just thank you. Again, thank you. If you're not following us on Twitter yet or next, whatever you want to call it, please do. It's at No Reserves Radio. If you're listening on the Spotify app, if you're listening on the Apple Podcast, just leave us a 5-star review, subscribe, turn on the auto downloads as well. There's a fancy, nice little donate button that you can click to help us out there for our Patreon. And if you're listening on the YouTubes, you know what to do. It's just all of the like, subscribe, notifications, comments, bang, all of that thing. And as always, guys, talk to you next week.
That's the show.